All right, so to wrap up this topic, I want to address a question, which is, why didn't the Torah discuss the schar in Olam Haba and explicitly, and the Torah did discuss explicitly the reward for mitzvos in Olam Hazeh, in this world? It seems as though the reward for mitzvos that we would receive in this world is really not the real reward, according to everything we're learning, right? It's nothing. It's a temporary thing, whatever. But the reward for mitzvahs is an Olam Haba. And yet the Torah does not really explicitly describe anything about Olam Haba. It's all Mesorah. It's all, you know, the tradition. And it's in the Torah Sheba'al Peh, but it's not in the Torah. It's not written. So how could that be and why is that? So the first question is, why did the Torah discuss the physical schar? So let's take again, as we've been going with the Ramban and the Rambam. These are the two always point people we always go to. Nachmanides, Maimonides. Rambam, Nach, Ramban. Ramban is always much more of a philosopher, of a thinker, of a Kabbalist. And Rambam is more pshat. So the Rambam says, yeah, you have it all wrong. Of course, he says, really, the reward that we are given in this world is not reward at all. It's not reward. It's not. The Torah says that if you do mitzvahs, I'll give you rain. If you do mitzvahs, I'm going to give you rain. After the ganach, you have food. So it says Rambam, very simple. It's similar to the story that we said a couple days ago about the guy in business that does favors for his client, right? That the idea is, as Hashem says, oh, I see that you're doing mitzvahs. Excuse me. I see that you're performing mitzvahs. I see you're doing the ratzon Hashem. You know what? I'm going to try to make life easy for you. I'm going to take away all the challenges. I'm going to make it easy. I see you're a good guy. You're trying to do the right thing. You know what? You have an employee. He works hard. He does well. So you tell him, you know what? I'm going to give you a better office. Why are you giving him a better office, Tom? Because you're giving him like a lollipop? You know, you're treating him right? No, because you see, if he gets a better office, he's even getting even more clients. And then in the good office, you know, he starts getting even more clients. He says, you know what? I'm going to give you an office overlooking the thing. You're a great guy. I mean, the more I give you, the more you get me clients, the more you're working for me. So the Rambam says that the idea why Hashem gives us reward, quote unquote, for doing mitzvahs is not reward. Our reward is saved completely for Olam Haba. But it's a statement of, I see that you're going to use what I give you properly. You're going to do the Ratzon Hashem. So then I'll back you. I'll make it easier for you. I'm right in there with you. According to the Rambam, that's what's going on. Okay? Now that goes very hand in hand with what the Rambam says in another place, that the reason why the Torah did not discuss the reward in Olam Haba is because we don't want to get into too much detail about reward for mitzvahs, because we don't want people to do mitzvahs for the purpose of reward. We don't want people to do it shelo lishma. So that's why the Torah did not actually the Torah did not actually discuss explicitly the reward in Olam Haba, because we don't want the people to, we don't want the people to only do mitzvahs for the purpose of getting reward. So according to the Rambam, the reward that's mentioned in this world is not really reward. And the reward in Olam Haba, which is reward, we don't want to talk about that, because we don't want to motivate people shelo lishma for the purpose of reward. The Torah wants the people to do it because it's the right thing. This is the Rambam's view. The Rambam, and that's the Rambam in one place. The Rambam adds another place. He says that
um,
The Rambam adds another point in Hilchos Tshuva, is that the other reason why the Torah didn't describe it explicitly is because it's very hard to explain. It's very hard to understand. We live in a physical world, and for the Torah to go and describe things in a spiritual world would be too difficult to even wrap your head around, and therefore the Torah didn't even want to confuse us with that. That's the other reason. Okay, so this is the Rambam's approach. The Ramban's approach is different. The Ramban's approach is, again, it goes very well with the way the Ramban understands the whole concept of Olam Haba. The concept of Olam Haba, he basically says is that the concept that the soul can live on and experience reward is obvious. He says it's obvious. Who in their right mind wouldn't do that? Who wouldn't do it? Right? Who wouldn't do it? It's obvious. Why would Hashem create a person who will die and like, okay, 6 feet under, life's over? It doesn't make any sense. Hashem obviously created us to exist in a spiritual way because to connect to Him, and any thinking person would know that. And therefore, the Ramban says such an interesting thing. He says, the reason the Torah didn't speak about the reward in Olam Haba is because it's obvious. There's a chiddush that there's also a reward in this world. That we wouldn't know. So the Torah has to tell me there's a reward in this world. But that's the thing I wouldn't know necessarily. That's what I needed the Torah to teach me. That there's reward even in this world. So according to the Ramban, it's the opposite. The reward in this world is, I wouldn't have known it otherwise, and the Torah has to speak it out. The reward in the next world, that was the chiddush. And that's why the Torah has to speak about the reward in this world, not the reward in the next world. Okay. Now, there's another reason given, and this is the reason. That's given since we're learning the Ruach Chaim, so I want to wrap up with a piece from the Vilna Gaon. This is a piece from the Vilna Gaon. That's brought down from the Vilna Gaon in Shir HaShirim, and I found it in the book written by a friend of mine. This book, it's written by Rabbi Netanel Wiederblank. He was actually a classmate of mine in high school, and we're good friends. He sent me this book, he wrote it, and it talks about just different things. And in there, he has a whole chapter about Olam Haba, and he quotes in there a piece from the Vilna Gaon, which I think is appropriate for us because we're learning Nefesh HaChaim, which is from the Talmud of the Gaon, the Chaim Volozhiner. So I'll tell you the Vilna Gaon's pshat, incredible pshat, okay? He says that incredible pshat. He said the translation of the pieces is as follows. With this, we can answer the early authorities' questions about why the Torah did not mention the reward of the world to come. The main purpose of the world to come is to return the soul to its source, to cleave to the divine presence. That's what Olam Haba is. Olam Haba is when a person, because we cannot purify our bodies enough, so the neshama is separated from the guf, and then the neshama can experience dveikus to Hashem in an Olam Haba setting, right? Says the Gaon, but certainly it is better for the divine presence to cleave to this world, since this was the well-known purpose of creation. This reward is written in the Torah multiple times. Okay. In other words, the idea of Olam Haba is kind of a bidyeved. It's kind of a state that since this world is tame, and since this world is impure, and we cannot perfect ourselves in this world, therefore, we have to wait for the next world so our neshamas can go up to heaven and cling to Hashem. But the Vilna Gaon says, but there's many, but really a person can be zoche to Olam Haba in this world. Because it says it with certain mitzvahs, when we build a Beis HaMikdash, if we purify ourselves, Hashem actually comes down to this world. V'shachanti b'soicha, and I will dwell amongst you. Says the Vilna Gaon, that's an experience of Olam Haba in this world. So in fact, when the Torah says that through certain mitzvahs, you can bring the Shekhinah into the world, with certain actions that we do, we can bring the Shekhinah down into the world. We can cling to a Kadosh Baruch Hu in the world. That's really saying you're living Olam Haba Dikah life. You're living an Olam Haba type of life in this world. So that is the Sky of Olam Haba. The Torah actually does describe a certain Metzias, which is like that of Olam Haba. The Torah describes the Metzias of a human being able to cling to God. That is Olam Haba. So it says the Gaon, the whole kasha doesn't start. The question was, why didn't the Torah describe Olam Haba? The Torah describes it very clearly. The Torah says you could do certain things and you don't have to wait for Olam Haba to get it. But surely in Olam Haba you'll have it. But the fact that a human being can cling to Hashem in this world, that's the chiddush of Olam Haba. That it says it in the pasuk. The Torah does talk about that. That's the Vilna Gaon's understanding. So I think it's a beautiful pshat to think about. So there's a lot more in this book. He brings 9 interpretations, but basically to the most simple basic pshatim, why the Torah didn't mention Olam Haba, either because it's too complicated and we don't want to get confused, or because it's obvious, the Ramban, or because the Torah doesn't want to talk about reward altogether because it's giving us bad motivation. Or finally, the Gaon, that it talks about the concept of Olam Haba, because the concept of Olam Haba ultimately is the neshama clinging to God. And the Torah indeed does discuss that concept. And that's the Chiddush that's mentioned many times in the Chumash. All right, we'll stop here. And next week, Be'ezus Hashem, we will be starting the 5th and final, for us, the final chapter of Ruach Chaim.